It's good to see you today.
All righty. If you have your Bible, if you turn to Jonah chapter 1. The title of today's message is, Does God Hear Your Prayers? I ask you that question. Do you ever feel like God doesn't hear your prayers? You wonder? I want you to follow along with me in this as I read this story to you from Jonah and his life, beginning in verse 1, chapter 1. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And Jonah, this city, Nineveh, at this time, it was a very influential city in ancient history. In fact, you know, scholars for the longest time were doubting if it even existed, but definitely it did exist. In fact, it had influence all over the world, was the center of the world at one time. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship which was going to Tarshish. And he paid the fare, and he went down to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He didn't want to do what God had called him to do. You find out later on, if you read the whole book, it's not very long at all. You'll see how he felt about that going to Nineveh. He didn't want to do it. The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. And then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God. And they threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship, and he lay down, and he went to sleep. So the captain approached him and said, How is it that you're sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned for us so that we will not perish. Each man said to his mate, Come, let's cast lots to see who that we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell to Jonah. Now, don't get all excited about this casting lots business. This, thinking, well, yeah, God blesses that. No. God used that to speak to them. These guys are pulling out all the stops. Why is this storm happening? And they're ready to bow the knee to whichever God would get them out of the situation. Then they said to Jonah, Tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck? What's your occupation? Where do you come from? What's your country? From what people are you? And he said to them, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord God. I fear Yahweh, the one who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men became extremely frightened, and they said to him, How could you do this? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Now they're putting the story together. The stuff Jonah had been saying while he was on the ship. And now they figure out, hey, this God he serves, this God, yeah, he's angry. Now, they lived in a polytheistic culture. They believed in a panoply of gods, and which is indicated by the text here. They were willing to call out whatever God was going to answer. Now they've zeroed in on who the problem is. It's Jonah, and Jonah is running away from his God. So they said to him, verse 11, What shall we do to you that the sea may become calm for us? For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. You ever been out in high seas? Linda, remember when we were in that boat going across the St. Catherine Sound? Out there in a little old 13-foot Boston whaler with about 6-7 foot seas, you know? And you say, well, that's not much. Well, it is when you've never been in 6-7 foot seas and you're in a little old boat. You start looking around. He said them in verse 12, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Now, you're saying, well, why is Jonah saying that? Well, he's figured out now. He can't run from God. He's ready to just cash it in. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that on account of me this great storm has come upon you. However, the men rowed desperately to return to the land, but they could not, for the sea was becoming even stormier against them. And then they called on the Lord. These pagan, false God-worshipping sailors now acknowledge that the Lord, Yahweh, is over all. He's over the sea. We earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us. For you, O Lord, have done as you have pleased. So God's got everybody's attention at this point. So they picked up Jonah, and they threw him into the sea. And the sea immediately stopped raging. Then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Let's stop there. We're going to read his prayer next, but let's stop there. Take inventory of the story. So these guys have figured out that it's Jonah's God that's responsible for this. But yet they don't want to throw Jonah in the sea, so they're trying to row the ship to the shore. Can't do it. And at last they capitulate to what Jonah suggested that they do, and that's throw him into the sea. And so they do that, and immediately it calms. So they offer sacrifices. And just a little point about this. Later on, another sermon for another day, but Jonah would go to Nineveh and would preach there. The city was so large it took 3 days to get across it. And there's a great revival that takes place there, but I want to let you know that the revival started before Jonah ever went there, because God's hand was on Jonah and God had already decided, I'm going to bring revival through Jonah, and so it's already started on the boat. Nothing he can do about it. When God decides he's going to do something sovereignly, that's why we need to come into agreement when God speaks to us with things, because God's going to do it. With or without us, we get the choice. Now, just to let you know, this is not just a story, a fantasy story. Jesus referred to the stories, referred to several times in the New Testament. And in fact, he compares it to his death, burial, and resurrection. Remember when he says, just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be. There's your verification of the story. So, how big a fish must that have been? Oh man. Read the commentary, go on the internet. Now some words you never need to type in to Google on the internet. Y'all know that. I think these are pretty safe. Jonah and great fish, and see all the array of opinions that's out there. It's a great fish, and I've had people try to parse that with fish. Well, it couldn't have been a whale, because whale's a mammal. Fish are that. Come on now. It's in the sea. But was it a whale? We don't know. We don't know. It's a great fish. God had prepared a fish, that which is in the sea, to swallow this man. There's a couple of scientists that have this theory that it was a great white, a huge great white that just swallowed him whole. You know, you examine the digestive tract of a large sperm whale, and you see they have different cavities. The food goes where it's pressed in the first part of the stomach, then it's moved to the place where the digestive juice is going to that. Listen, if one thing's for sure, if Jonah wasn't a white boy before he went in, he was definitely one when he came out, because he's been bleached out being inside whatever kind of fish is there. But imagine now, he's in the great fish. Now, there have been examples in history of other people who have been swallowed by whales and live to tell about it. That's right. There are others in history. So don't think this is the only time that this has ever happened. Don't try this at home. Okay? So I want you to see the setup for the next part. They throw him in the sea. Revival's taking place on the ship, but God's not through speaking to Jonah. He's now inside the great fish, chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish. Now, has God ever had to get you to a place where you would listen to him? Here's the place where Jonah's ready to listen and to speak. Here's his prayer. Listen to it now. And he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. You heard my voice. For you had cast me into the deep. You see, as he's praying, it wasn't those guys that cast him. God put him there. They were just the instrument. In the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All your breakers and billows passed over me. Can you see this? Got a picture of this? You know, all the imagery that is here. I mean, it's almost like a baptism, isn't it? So I said, verse 4, I've been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward your holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came to you in your holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. And then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up on the dry land. Revival was taking place on the boat. Now revival takes place in the fish. And now Jonah's ready to go do God's work. And God releases him. Where are you right now? Where are you spiritually? Most of us will cry out to God when we're in trouble. When we've exhausted all other means at our disposal. Look in the story. Not only Jonah, but the guys on the ship with him. They were exhausting all of their means to where God then gets them down to the short rows. What will we do? You see the guys on the ship, and then Moses. I got Moshe in there. Then Jonah inside the fish, feeling helpless, feeling isolated, feeling alone. You have any problems going on with you? I guarantee you, there's several of you sitting here today listening to my voice that are dying by inches right now. And you don't know what to do. I'm telling you today, the Lord has the answer for you. Will you look to Him? Will you cry out to Him? We can also feel surrounded by threats, by the stuff that's swirling around us, especially as we've been thinking about a faith for the times in which we live. You know, there's a lot of things we just can't depend on anymore, can we? Americans can't live in a bubble anymore and think we can buy our way out of everything that goes on. Or we have enough military to spread to the earth. We found limits on both of those things, haven't we? Big limits. Jonah was engulfed by the sea, engulfed by the fish. But isn't it interesting, as he's engulfed by the sea, that God has him in this protected cubicle in the belly of this fish? How many times has God... You think you're in the middle of all kinds of stuff that's going on, but look how God has protected you. Look in the past. He's been there. He is the God who is with us. Emmanuel. Is God listening to you? God knows where you are. He knows what's going on. Knows all about you. Knows every detail. So then why should we pray and we pour that stuff out? He's just wanting you to agree with Him. Prayer is coming into agreement with Him. It's not informing Him of stuff. Oh, God, you didn't notice this over here. No, it's letting Him know that we have noticed it. That we're aware of things that are going on around. And God cares about us. He loves us. You know, you can't outrun His love. Look at Jonah. He's running away from God just as fast as he can. He's going to get out of Dodge. But what he finds out is when he gets there, who's waiting on him? He leaves. He goes opposite direction from there. Doesn't want to go there. And God is there. He gets on the boat. God is there. They throw him off the boat. He's in the sea. God is there. He's in the belly of the fish. God is there. He gets out on dry land and then he'll go and preach his message and he finds out that even in Nineveh, God is there. God's waiting on him because he's God. He's over all. He's just waiting on us to come in agreement with that. God's been trying to get our attention from the beginning. We look back, can't we see the hand of God? How many times should you have been dead? How many times should people have turned their backs on you? And you say, oh boy, I lucked out on that one. Yeah, luck, right. The sovereignty of God. Even we don't realize that God is watching over us. He sees through the veneer of our excuses, the veneer of our reasonings, the veneer of our sin. And He sees through to the person that He created us to be. He has a plan. God listens. He listens to your heart. He was listening to Jonah. He even listened to a bunch of pagan sailors. It is kind of interesting, because, you know, talk like a sailor kind of thing. You can think about their discussions on that ship. And I know the ship was an inanimate object, but, you know, I'm sure the sails on that ship had never heard praises to God. It heard a lot of other things. God won't answer you when you cry out to Him. One of Jesus' names is Emmanuel, God with us. So what steps do you need to take today? Every journey starts with a first step. Go hear this message, say, oh, that's good information, Dust. You know, I'll take that under consideration. Right. What's God speaking to you today? God's not going to take the step for you. That's a step you've got to take. You've got to engage. That's faith. That's trust. And even that's a gift from God, the capacity to be able to do it. Don't wait till your life gets worse. Cry out to God. Don't let any more time elapse. It's time to say, Lord, I need you now. I need you right in the middle of this situation. Every one of us sitting here has situations in our lives that we don't know what to do about them, do we? What will I do? Time to call on the Lord right now. Right now. Knowing that He'll hear you. You say, well, I don't know what to say to Him. Well, He knows your heart language. Make an attempt, but He can hear what you're saying. Just like you parents with your children. When they get excited, they're upset about something, they're trying to tell you something, and the words another person just thinks it's gibberish, but you understand their heart. You understand what they're speaking. God knows that about you. Listen to everything He has to say. Because you cry out to Him, then it's time for you to listen. From reading Jonah's prayer there in chapter 2, it's apparent that he had engaged and was listening to the lesson. And God was very personal. And then whatever He speaks to you, you need to be obedient. What He says. Does God hear your prayers? Yes, He does. But hear me on this. Here's a habit Americans have. We'd like to pray to God and treat Him like one of our servants. God, take care of this problem over here for me while I continue to live my life like I want to. That's not how it works. Because God's not as much interested in that whatever it is problem that you think it's a problem. Whatever you think. And it's amazing the thing that's a major problem today and you let a day or two pass, a week, a month, a year, and how important was it? Get real about it. Come on. How important was it? The garbage you fought over, the stuff that you put out there, oh man, we got to do something about this right now. Well, really? Tomorrow, is it like that? Now, there are some things we got to do something about right now, but it's usually not on our list. God's got no list. But see, God's not as interested in that. Now, He's going to act in that. But you know the main reason why He wants to act in that situation? Because He wants to change me in the process. Because He's more interested in me and my relationship with Him than He is in anything else in the earth. That's what it's all about. It's about a relationship with Him. That's what prayer is. Does He hear your prayer? You better believe He does. He's vitally interested in you. What's going on in your life? He wants to work. He wants the best for you. But when He speaks, and He can get in a language you can understand, now please, if there's a certain family member that rode to church with you today, on the way home, don't throw them out the window and say, we've prayed about this. And you're the problem. You first might want to examine yourself. Because even those pagan sailors did that. They took a look at themselves. What are you praying about today? What situations are larger than life to you today? What might God be speaking through those? Is He getting your attention? Let's bow our heads. Just a moment. We're going to hear some music and the altar is going to be open and you can come and pray. And as I've told you many times before, God doesn't care about how you genuflect, what your position your body's in, our religious exercises. He's interested in your heart. You need to go get someone, a family member, someone else to come and pray with you. Now's the time. Now's the time. Let's take it before the Lord. You have great burdens today. We sang it at the beginning today. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. He'll come. If you've never received Jesus, today is an opportunity for you to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Receive Jesus to come into your life, forgive your sin, and make you a new person. But you can't understand the good news till you get an idea of the bad news. The bad news is that because of our sin, we will spend forever separated from Him. But the good news is that Jesus died on the cross for our sin. He rose on the third day and He gives to everyone who comes to Him faith and trust life. Life. Lord, right now I pray for life and life more abundant. I pray for us that we could turn to You. Lord, yes, we talked about it early this morning. There's a fresh wind blowing. There's a move of God that is afoot today. And Lord, all the places we've tried to hide and run away, and Lord, we found that we can't run away from You. Your plan and Your will and Your love that goes beyond anything we can imagine. Thank You, Jesus, for loving us enough to die in our place. Bless You, Lord. Bless You. Now, Lord, I pray for all the needs that are here today. For those who have never received Jesus, may this be the day. For those, Lord, today who are carrying burdens, Lord, that have them 3 inches shorter than they ought to be because they're so downtrodden right now. Lord, for those who lack the energy today to even take the next step because of things in their lives, I'm praying, God, that You'd lift burdens today. Lord, we pray for those answers to prayer. We come in agreement with those prayers, Lord. Prayers prayed in faith. Lord, we're praying for healing today. Some in this body need healing. Healing physically, healing emotionally, healing spiritually. We're asking You for that. We're asking You, Lord, for a very fresh immersion of the Spirit for us, all of us. Take us deep with You, Lord. Fill us today. Fill us today with Your power and Your presence. We love You, Jesus. We love You. All our needs today we lay at Your feet. Come now, Lord. Come. The altar's open. This way, if you will, as we continue to pray, we'd sure like to get those cards from you. If you have an offering to bring, a basket in the back, two up front here, we'd like to get those from you now. look this way, if you will, and I want you to know I'm going to be watching you this week to see if any of you are whiter than you were last week. See if there's an exterior appearance that shows that you, God's been bleaching you in the place of His blessing. One other thing I need to tell you, good to see young Miss Delgado with us today. She has recently graduated from Emory University. What a blessing. And you can send them an IOU for the time that I didn't get permission to use their library years ago. I used it. I want to say a blessing over you and send you out in the name of the Lord. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for speaking to us out of your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are mindful of all that which is in our lives. Lord, I pray your blessing on the people today that are having birthdays. Lord, may it be a great day. And especially, Lord, for one that's graduating today, I want to personally thank you. Thank you, Lord. Go before us now in Jesus' name. Amen.